Good morning. This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:33. I'm Beneduccio in Morgantown. West Virginia American Water began the long-awaited flushing process yesterday afternoon for residents who have been without water since last Thursday. Clark Davis tells us what's next as the ban is lifted.
Residents in the nine counties began the flushing process using an interactive online map. The chemical leak has left residents without the use of water since Thursday. Residents have been instructed to follow a detailed process once their area is in the blue zone on a map at amwater.com. Jeff McIntyre is president of West Virginia American Water.
But it's essentially a three-step process, first for flushing. Turn on all your hot water taps and flush for 15 minutes and shut those taps back off. Turn on your cold water taps and flush for 5 minutes and then turn those off. Then go outside to your outside taps, any fixtures that you have outside, and flush those for 5 minutes.
The press conference was held yesterday afternoon at the Capitol, where McIntyre and others outlined the next step. McIntyre says residents need to follow the precise instructions located on the website for additional outlets that the public may have, such as appliances.
There's the flushing, and then there's your appliances and fixtures. So if you have filters, if you have a dishwasher, an ice maker, there are additional steps depending on what you may have in your house. But once you've finished our protocol, which is laid out on several pages, once you're done, you're done.
McIntyre did not offer a timetable for how long it would take to get all zones through the flushing process. The first zone yesterday afternoon focused on the downtown Charleston area and included local hospitals in the region. With the focus turning to how to prevent any future instances of chemical leaks into the water supply, Secretary of the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection Randy Huffman says they're already working on legislation to help prevent accidents like this in the future.
We're also, at the governor's request, developing some proposals for how we might more properly regulate these facilities in order to minimize the risk of a spill. Again, what we're doing at DEP is just about minimizing the risk of a spill.
Huffman says they're looking into ways to more closely pay attention to sites that are storage only, such as the Freedom Industries site where the leak occurred. Sites such as Freedom's are not regulated like facilities that house the production of the chemical at issue. McIntyre says from the perspective of West Virginia American Water, it's not time to look at risk assessment until they have got the water once again available to all its customers.
We're not doing any of that work at this time. There is no risk assessment going on at this time. Our focus is singular to getting the customers back into water as early as possible.
Major General James Hoyer of the West Virginia National Guard says it may have taken a few days, but the group has been doing its best to deliver accurate information to people in the region.
Every member of the interagency team that's doing the tests and analysis and working this process has family members and loved ones that live in this area. So one of the overarching things, in addition to the science of what our folks are doing, is the fact that we owe a responsibility to the citizens of the state and our families to provide the best information we have.
Members of the public seeking information on the flushing process, including West Virginia American Water's website, can visit wvpublic.org. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Clark Davis in Charleston.
Entering the first full week of the second session of the 81st West Virginia Legislature, the normal process has been slowed by a coal-cleaning chemical leaking into the water supply of over 300,000 West Virginians. While some work was done yesterday, as Aaron Payne reports, most of the legislature's efforts were toward the safety of the citizens.
5 days after citizens were told not to use their water for purposes other than flushing or putting out fires, both the House and Senate met in short sessions. With only 43 members in attendance, the House was unable to conduct regular business. However, the lack of quorum allowed delegates a chance to assist in the relief efforts in wake of the chemical spill. Delegate Misha Poor is one such delegate to join in the effort and thanks fellow delegates for their assistance.
The members around the legislature have done very well by our areas have been affected. They have stepped up and actually transported water and food and things of that nature, supplies that are needed, into the areas. And so I want to thank our West Virginia legislative members for stepping up and helping out other West Virginia families.
House Speaker Tim Miley also thanks and applauds members of the House for their efforts in the relief.
Well, I know many delegates have went back to their districts this past weekend and were engaged in collection efforts of water. I think that's admirable. I think it's great that everyone is stepping in. I tell you, if West Virginians do nothing else, We do a lot of things well, but the thing we do best is to step up and help friends and neighbors and families in need.
The House will convene later than normal to allow delegates from other areas of the state to travel to Charleston.
We recess today and we'll be reconvening Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. The purpose of that is to allow delegates who have been waiting to hear word of what the situation is in the Kanawha Valley, it will allow them time to travel to Charleston, especially the delegates from the Eastern Panhandle, as well as the Northern Panhandle. Most other delegates are within a couple of hours, but there are some delegates who are, you know, 4 to 6 hours away, and we want to make sure we accommodate them. I mean, they were elected by their constituents to represent their constituents here in Charleston, and we want to make sure that they are able to fully and fairly participate in floor activities as well as committee meetings.
Meanwhile, over in the Senate, all senators from throughout the state were present. Senate President Jeff Kessler expressed the need to be at the Capitol and working for the citizens.
We felt everyone was able to get here. There was some juggling of some hotel rooms that needed to be taken care of, but we were able to locate 60 rooms or so that would be available today. So we decided to come in and business as usual.
As the water crisis ends, there will be investigations, hearings, and reports. Senate Judiciary Chairman Corey Palumbo wonders what the legislature needs to do to strengthen environmental laws.
Well, I think the thing I'd be most curious to find out is what are the failings in our laws that allowed something like this to happen? I mean, what can we better do to strengthen our laws to ensure something like this doesn't happen again in the future?
But House Speaker Miley wants to take a more deliberate approach.
I never want to take a knee-jerk, hasty reaction to bad circumstances because you don't know what cause the bad circumstances to happen. So we definitely want to wait to see what the results and findings are from the various investigative agencies at the local, state, and federal levels are to determine what our next step needs to be.
Meanwhile, restaurant, hotel, and other workers have been unable to go to work, and Senator Chris Walters had a message today for his colleagues.
I wanted to ask that we all work together. We started a campaign of sorts over today to turn up the tips in local restaurants and also in areas that usually wouldn't so much receive gratuity, such as McDonald's or Chick-fil-A's. Those are paycheck-to-paycheck West Virginians who have been without work, who have been sitting unable to work because of the water crisis, and they really need our help in these times. So please remember them when you go into restaurants as you're visiting in Charleston, and thank you again for all the help you all gave.
For the legislature today, I'm Aaron Payne in the House.
You're listening to West Virginia Morning at 7:40.
In the weather for West Virginia, some sunshine today. Colder tomorrow as mostly cloudy skies are bringing rain showers in through the morning. It'll be sunny this afternoon with highs in the 40s and 50s, and then cloudy skies tonight. A chance of rain showers mixing with snow possibly after midnight and lows in the 20s and 30s. We'll also have wind gusts of up to 25 miles per hour possible throughout the state. It'll be overcast on Wednesday with a chance of snow showers, cold with highs in the 20s and 30s. Support provided by the West Virginia Division of Rehabilitation Services, enabling and empowering workers with disabilities to meet business workforce needs. Visit wvdrs.org for employer services. And support for NPR comes from the Cy Sims Foundation, supporting advances in science, education, and the arts since 1925. CySimsFoundation.org.
Residents are pitching in across the state to help out their fellow West Virginians. Churches, schools, and even businesses have been collecting items for several days and sending them to areas affected by the ban. Jessica Lilly visited one drop-off point and filed this report.
As the ban to use water is slowly lifted, several places in Wyoming County are still collecting items like baby wipes, diapers, formula, and, of course, water.
You know, go without water for a few days and you'll see just how much you miss that water.
Charlene Cook is the director of operations at the Mullins Opportunity Center. Cook says these items are meant to help those who remain without access to clean water, one of whom she ran into while at a restaurant in Beckley.
She was just a smiling, saying, "Hey, I'm one of those people you're talking about, you know." And she was there in Raleigh County to buy water because she said she stood in line for 8 hours for a gallon of water, and my heart just broke for her. I thought, oh, my word, 8 hours. I can't imagine that she drove from Dunbar to get her water. So, you know, there's so many out there that can't drive from Dunbar to get their water.
Cook says donations are also meant to help those carrying a financial burden during this time. Some businesses have been closed for almost 4 days.
I'm sure they need water. They're wanting hand sanitizer, baby wipes, paper products, trash bags, any kind of products that they may use at this time. People, it's hard-pressed right now because people are out of work also.
Cook remembers all too well what it's like to be without water. Mullins has been rebuilding since a massive flood in 2001.
We've been in the boil water advisories. We've lost everything in the Mullins area, so we know what it is to have a need. So, you know, it would be good if we as a community that we could reach out.
In Wyoming County, donations are being accepted at the Brenton Community Church, Oceana New Life Church, Pineville Family Resource Network, and the Mullins Opportunity Center. The supplies will be picked up after there's enough to fill a truck. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Jessica Lilly in Mullins.
The same day the water in Charleston and surrounding counties were contaminated with a chemical used to wash coal, new email disclosures connected members of New Jersey Governor Chris Christie's staff to a politically motivated traffic jam on the George Washington Bridge. The two events got former West Virginia Public Radio assistant news director Anna Sale of WNYC in New York thinking about what happens when events like these cause everyday life to shut down.
Time for some traffic problems in Fort Lee. What a story. I was hooked, and I devoured updates as they trickled out on social media last Thursday. That's how I noticed a small mention that my hometown in West Virginia had lost its drinking water. There was a leak of a coal processing chemical. It was stored right by a river, just above a water treatment plant. Tap water was declared unsafe for hundreds of thousands of people, including my parents. No water? Why hadn't I heard about this? I called my mom. She made a joke about having to brush her teeth with Gatorade. But she didn't have clear answers to the questions I lobbed at her. What does this leaked chemical do? How long until the tap water is safe? She said they were told to wait for updates, and at least you could flush the toilet. In the days that followed, the firepower of hundreds of journalists focused on Bridgegate and its political implications. Meanwhile, my mom sent reports of securing flats of bottled water from Sam's Club. My dad used some of it to wet washcloths and pop them into the microwave for a warm bath. There were some national headlines about the crisis in West Virginia. A lot of the focus was on the cozy relationship between the coal industry and state politicians. For color, there was the occasional quote with bad grammar. Like all places, West Virginia has its idiosyncrasies, but the affected areas are a typical suburban community with hospitals and schools, local businesses, and chain restaurants. Still, as the days passed, social media posts from West Virginia started to sound like a post-apocalyptic Twilight Zone. Instead of the usual kid pictures and funny videos, friends from home swapped alerts about where the National Guard was distributing water, and news of shuttered businesses, closed schools, and canceled surgeries at hospitals. There were also how-to instructions for flushing out home water heaters. And palpable outrage. People asking, how could this happen? In both New Jersey and West Virginia, there is the shock of the most basic functions of everyday life being totally disrupted. In New Jersey, the emails include a smoking gun. It was no accident. In West Virginia, there is no clear foil yet. The chemical company deserves scrutiny. So do the decades of lax enforcement, the absent federal standards, and the idea that you can take drinking water for granted. For a moment, think about turning on your faucet and being told the water coming out of it might be poisonous. Think about learning that little is known about a leaked chemical's long-term effects on humans. The do not drink orders in West Virginia are starting to lift. Think about what it would take for you to feel safe using that water. And instead of dismissing West Virginia as an anachronism, let's think more about what is required to stop this from happening again. For WNYC, I'm Anna Sale.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Find great stories, photos, and videos, and you can subscribe to our West Virginia Morning podcast. We're interested in your comments. You can send them to feedback@wvpublic.org. Follow us on Twitter at @WVPublicNews and find us on Facebook. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting's news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our news director is Beth Voorhees. Our director is Bob Powell. From Morgantown, I'm Beneduccio. Good morning.